Hi everybody, welcome to our morning devos. Today's chapter is Luke chapter 24. This is the very last chapter of the book of Luke. If you've been reading along with us, great job. You've made it through another book of the New Testament. But I'm going to read this chapter. As usual, I'll share some quick thoughts before wrapping us up. Again, this is Luke chapter 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloth by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Amen. Christ is risen. It's obviously not Easter, which is when we typically say something like that, but of course this truth that Christ is risen isn't reserved just for Easter. It's good news year-round. That's the first thing I want to highlight from this chapter. We, you and I, follow and serve a God who is alive, not dead. The words of the angels in verse 5 stand out to me. The woman who had visited Jesus' tomb when he was buried in chapter 23 have come back on the first day of the week with spices and ointments that they had prepared. But when they arrive, they see that not only is a stone rolled away from the tomb, but the body of Jesus is nowhere to be found. As they're standing there perplexed, trying to figure out what to do, two men in dazzling apparel, whom we know to be angels, say to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead?" They say this in such a matter-of-fact kind of way that, yes, Jesus has died, but he is risen. He is living. He is not among the tombs, the dead bodies. He is alive. He's alive today. We see further evidence of this in the following verses, but especially in verses 36 through 49, when he appears before his disciples. He appears before them, and when he sees that they're startled, it says actually that they're frightened, thinking that they're seeing a spirit or a ghost, he says, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And then as if to cap it all off, he asks for something to eat, and surely only those who are alive need food. Jesus is alive, not dead. And therefore, like I said at the start, we follow and serve a God who is alive. Yes, Jesus' life and ministry did take place thousands of years ago, but they're not stuck there at that time. They certainly didn't end with his death. As Christians, we're not looking just to the past, upon a historical figure who once lived at some point. As the angel says, we're not seeking someone from among the dead. We're seeking a living and active Savior who is moving today. We serve and follow a Savior who overcame the grave and thus has the power over life and death and has dominion over all things. We serve a God who is alive and with us today. And that's the second thing I want to highlight from this passage. Jesus is alive, as I said, but as we read, especially in these last few verses of the book of Luke, Jesus parts from his disciples and is carried up into heaven. He's no longer physically in the world as he had been throughout his ministry. But look at what he says before his ascension, verse 49. Verse 49 says, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Jesus here is referring to the Holy Spirit. His followers will be clothed with power from on high. Though Jesus is not physically walking with us, he promised us his Spirit, which all of us, if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, have access to. What is the Spirit for? Well, a lot could be said about this, but just looking at this passage, we can get a sense of this through the verses that come before this. Verse 45, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things.'" I intentionally repeated that word proclaim because that's what we're called to do. And we've been given the Spirit to do just that, to witness, to testify, to proclaim this good news that Jesus, yes, he suffered and he died, but on the third day rose again. And because of this opportunity for repentance and the forgiveness of sins, that we have life with him for eternity. That's why we've been given the Spirit. The Spirit gives us the power, the ability, the words to proclaim the name of Jesus and this good news to everyone, to share that our sins, that through the death and life of Jesus, our sins have been forgiven and there is eternal life in Christ Jesus, the risen King. Brothers and sisters, let's live as those who know that our teacher, our savior, our friend is alive. And that with the power of the Holy Spirit, whom we have each been given, let's be witnesses who testify of this truth. Let me pray to wrap us up today. Lord, we thank you. Thank you that we serve a God who is alive. We just want to speak this truth over us today. That you are not dead. You're not just a relic of the past that we are just kind of, following teachings from. But you are alive today. You are active today. You are present with us today. We know that because you said so, and also because you've given us your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you that we can live this life in communion with you, to know you more deeply, and also to receive the power, the ability, the authority to speak, to testify, to proclaim the goodness of our God. Help us to live in this way. Where again, we know that we follow and serve a living God, but also that we would obey you as our God, testifying, proclaiming of your goodness, of this good news that we have come to know, that we hope all will come to know one day. So again, we thank you. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.